Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You stuck around for episode two,
I guess. Hello, from the vault. Go. That's too cat-like. We need to
we need an orchestrator or someone who makes sound effects.
Do you know how expensive one of those
is? I keep telling you.
Yo, this is reality, guys, from the vault.
I need to start fucking that guy again that used to be an orchestrator. I should do that.
He was on, this is Love is Blind,
episode two.
This is stuff that was on our Patreon and Supercast content that we are celebrating the premiere of season three. So the kind of lead up to an advent calendar, if you will.
Oh, I like it.
So every time you get a new episode of Love is Blind.
Advent calendar.
Bread, one party.
Again, the fact that they sung that song every time ad infinitum must have made, if I was one of the priests, at least the Anglicans change up their liturgy some. But it's this whole idea of Catholicism where they're like, no, we can't make it too hard. No one will know it.
We don't have time.
Sorry. Tell me about episode two. I'll shut up.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't watch. Okay, so episode two.
You took notes on it.
This is when we see Cameron and Lauren kiss for the first
time. Oh.
And if you remember, they kiss. And remember when people had normal problems they talk about it, this episode, where Lauren, this is her first interracial relationship.
Right.
And she talks about, I even worry about my lips being too big for him. Like, all these kind of really beautiful human things
they
worry
so
about.
They were so vulnerable.
So vulnerable. You said you had a problem with Cameron touching her all the time. That grossed you out. I don't think you have a problem with that now.
I don't.
No, you don't.
I do have a problem with constant patting the back and moving things. I have a problem with it because it means, I know some people don't have a problem with it, but it mm-hmm. always feels invasive of someone's space.
Mm-hmm.
And it always feels, and this is me, this is totally me, when a man is doing that to a woman, it always feels slightly misogynist.
You said literally the exact same two sentences in the episode.
I feel the exact same.
You feel the exact same.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
Shocker.
Shocker. We also get a really enjoyable reality gays theater, or 90 Day Gays theater I enjoyed of Damien's proposal to Giannina, which I don't know if you remember. I'm not going to tell you everything, but I don't know if you remember. Remember he had a box, but in the box, remember he put the weird bow tie on his wrist?
Oh, yeah.
He said, giving you a box. And it was all...
It had so many layers to it.
It was so many just weird, it was terrible.
But then she proposed to him.
Yes. So, also, let's see. This is the first and only episode we felt sorry for Carlton. We felt sorry for him in this episode.
That's right, because the next episode, we do not.
And then episode four, even more. But yes, he's talking about his kind of the shame of his whatever bisexuality
yeah.
or whatever he wants to call it.
And was he talking about that with Diamond? I don't think he told her.
He told her in the pod. He tells her in this episode.
Okay.
So, oh God, this season's so good. Also, we get some... really just thrilling answers that I know y'all been wanting to know, if you don't remember, like, what's a dickosaurus? We're going to answer that.
I don't
episode.
Remember that.
Well, we answer it with a song.
Okay.
So we're going to get that answer. We're going to also answer through another song. What is, how do you get to the dick sucking highway? We sing that song as well. There's a lot of songs in this episode. Poodle,
wow.
I want to ask you this. I think this is the first mention I mentioned her. Do you remember who April McAllister is?
No.
Well, we find out about my friend April McAllister from Lone Grove, Oklahoma.
I think I blocked her out.
Okay. And then also we find out, does Poodle close his eyes or open them when he prayed in church?
Only suckers close their eyes. You got to be ready.
It's a pretty good Mother Poodle story, just so you know. Also,
I was always yelled at about closing my eyes.
You talk about it. Also, I'm trying to tease things, and you're just giving it all away. Also, we do find out, don't answer this.
Okay.
What wine does Poodle's mother like to drink?
Oh, that's the first mention.
That's the first mention we get of that. And lastly, I'm trying to notice, y'all, some of these things we were full on right. We're like, oh, we nailed it. We were so right about this person. We were completely wrong about Barnett. We called him a sociopath and a narcissist this episode.
Wow.
We could not have been more wrong.
We were rough with him in episode 3, too.
Yeah, we did not like Barnett at the beginning. It really changed a lot.
Well, he was shitty in the pods.
He was shitty in the pods. It changed a lot. So, really enjoyable to listen to. Anyway, y'all. You're going to find out the answers to those thrilling quotes. Enjoy the Dickosaurus song, and let's get into the pod.
Roll it, Gary.
You wouldn't even be doing this show if I not commanded you.
you
there would be no theme song. There would be nothing.
Really,
you should give me the Uber Right pillow.
I'm going to stab you in the throat. Special PSA, special gay
it's
SA.
Gay SA. Y'all, you're about to listen to our Love is Blind.
It's amazing.
It episodes. One thing, though, we talk a lot about Discord.
And Discord's dead to us, y'all.
How we're going to use that in this episode. They're fucking dead to us. We can't edit it out. It's too much in
Crowdcast is the new Discord.
So
remember that word, Crowdcast.
We're going to be using Crowdcast. This will be in later episodes, so you'll get more information. We'll be using Crowdcast to stream
the
live episode on Friday. That's already integrated into your Patreon.
Friday, February 28th.
So you need not fear. So don't be basic and go to Discord because they fucked us.
They're going to treat you like gamers, y'all.
Fuck those shit and enjoy the show.
Yay. Where are my notes?
Welcome to the show, y'all.
This is 90 Day Gays Presents. I'm stumbling like Jessica, y'all.
Maybe because it's 4 o'clock and you're on your second drink.
This is 90 Day Gays Presents Love is Blind.
Love is Blind.
Love is Blind. Hopefully we've already gotten our theme song in now.
Hopefully. Otherwise, we just gave it away. Y'all, my name is Matt, a.k.a.
Ooh, that's strong.
A.k.a. Maddie.
And I'm Jake Anthony, a.k.a. Poodle.
Grab your notes, whore. Let's jump into it.
Right.
Y'all, we just want to remind you, we want to thank you for jumping onto our Patreon for
Our Gatreons. You're our Gatreons now.
If you're new to our Gatreons, our Gatrons, we'll just let you know, we're doing this show, and we also have our We Recap.
90 Day Fiancé.
90 Day Fiancé.
The
past
Marvel.
Seasons,
the Multiverse.
The Multiverse, past seasons, and each month we do a Bicurious episode. That's just whatever we've been watching.
Because sometimes we feel like a nut, and sometimes you just want to come on their face.
It's true. Exactly. Right now we're doing one Bicurious episode. If we get at the come at us tier, if we get to basically we're doubling it. So we get to another number on that. We're going to start with two Bicurious episodes.
Two Bicurious episodes a month.
So thank you for hanging with us. And let's jump in, whore.
Let's jump in.
Okay.
We begin with the big reveal.
Reveal.
Of Cameron and Lauren. Oh. God, yeah, we're this
gonna,
couple.
We're going to kind of talk to them a little bit. We're going to kind of talk about couples more.
We're going to do it by couples because the last episode was kind of like we weren't sure what to do. So now we kind of know.
We should say this. We meant to say this last episode. We know this is an experiment of not falling in love with people we don't see. Y'all, they're all fucking pretty.
Everyone's at least an 8.
At least. It'd be interesting to see like if there were some 4s or 5s in here.
Well, there were a couple people. We haven't seen them since the first episode. They were pushed out of sight and like deemed too unattractive.
Like, Eppy in the Toho. Please let me come out, Master, please.
They decided people like Allie, who'd had a little plastic surgery on her face, were not worthy of finding love, apparently.
They just got the fuck
Rory
rid of
Rory with LPV, little person vibes, he's not worthy of finding love either.
Actually, I think he's good looking.
I agree. I'm saying he's just got a little of LPV.
He's got like a big forehead, but he's handsome.
I'm going to say something a little controversial.
This is when we get all pulled off.
I feel like Rory was hired by the production. Or they had a guy who didn't show up, and Rory was a PA who had to come in and step in, because Rory's always trying to fill in plot points for people.
You know what? That's fair, and he does look familiar. I wondered if I worked with him on set before.
He's a PA.
Y'all, because we've decided they probably were just down there.
They were underneath Silmar.
They were in that bunker
or Simi Valley.
In Simi Valley, Silmar, didn't know what to do.
Y'all, if you've ever been to Silmar or Simi Valley, you know there's a lot of space there.
Anyway, also, kind of like
lots
this
of
show,
flooding.
And like this show, there's a lot of white people out there. Y'all, there's only like one black guy so far that we've seen in the second episode.
There's one black male, there's Latino man.
No one Asian.
There isn't, no.
I'd like to see this show in the retrospect of real, like...
The men are all white.
Because Lauren brings up this great... Let's just jump into Cameron and Lauren, and I think that's a good segue, right?
But you're exactly right. And the ones who we have seen they haven't featured on camera a lot are not what we would call the most attractive people compared to, I would say, the 8s or 9s. I feel like they might have told people when they were coming in, don't worry. Don't worry about what people look like. Everyone's going to be attractive.
It almost is like they said
I bet you dollars to donuts they did say that.
Because what if somebody fell in love with somebody and then we see it's Big Ed?
He's going to be on the new season of 90 Day Fiancé, y'all. He has no neck, and it may be from a disorder. And
nope,
and
you can't talk
about it. And
it
will really upset me if it is a disorder, because then that means I can't make fun of it. I may break that rule.
Well, I feel like, by the time this is dropped, we would have already watched the first episode. But people
I don't know about
love him.
Time.
I think he might be the most lovable person on this season.
He put mayonnaise on his head. I saw it in a clip.
He asked to send us stickers, and I said, that's so sweet, but we don't interact with fans or with cast members.
Yeah, and we've got nothing.
Unless Antonio wants to send us a dick pic.
If Antonio wants to send me a dick pic, I'm here, baby.
Mama. All right, let's jump into Cameron and Lauren.
Lauren.
They are the reason why I love this show.
He ran to her, and then he said, I'm never going to let you go.
Wanna run to you. I got to do this high.
But if I can't be,
oh, God, stop.
Tell me, will you stay?
Y'all, if you could say,
let me finish.
I'm busy.
Run away.
I'm being told to shush. I was shushed, and then he just did chin vibrato at the end.
Did
like Whitney Houston
Whitney
does.
I used to listen to that song.
That's how you learned a lot of bad vocal habits.
It's true. I used to listen to that song with my 8th grade girlfriend,
whose last name, strangely enough, was named Beard.
No, this is another one.
The fact that you had two girlfriends,
I was a catch.
Stupid bitches.
We'll see sometimes.
So anyway, so they're saying, let me look at you. I can't.
It was like out of a movie.
She's like, you're a prince. And I got Twitter pated.
And they kiss like this, not gross, but like this beautiful, passionate kiss. And she just kind of falls into him. It was out of a movie. It was out of a
Julia
Roberts movie. And then she says,
but Julia Roberts didn't like laugh her trademark laugh.
We should put that people can't talk bad about Liza Minnelli, Judy Garland,
I'm
or
fine
Julia
with
Roberts.
Talking bad about Julia Roberts. I don't love her the way you do.
Her.
I like her, but I don't think she's infallible.
Was there a star that you just love and it's not, it's that there's no reason for it? You just love them?
Cate Blanchett.
Really?
You can't talk bad about Cate Blanchett.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's nothing she's ever done that like Julia Roberts made terrible movies. I'm sure Cate Blanchett has two, but I'll have to think about them.
I just want to hang out with her.
Let's think about Notes from a Scandal when Judi Dench and Cate Blanchett.
That movie was. Jake was so over gay stimulated.
And Bill Nye, which is like, I don't know whether I'm going to. He went, well, figure it out.
It was so overacted.
Oh, it was so good.
It was good, though. It was good. So then Cameron drops a bomb that she's never dated outside of her race.
Lauren
said she's never dated outside of her race. And
she's like, I got large, full lips. I was worried that he wasn't, that I would like swallow him whole.
And I wonder,
my
that,
large,
I know,
full
I
lips.
Thought, I'm going to have to ask my partner if he ever thought about that. Because like, that broke my heart. I was like, oh, you shouldn't. Your lips are your lips. That's fine, girl. But I guess some people are worried
Lauren
about that.
Lauren is a little, I think Lauren's a little more neurotic.
True. She talks about how like she really like fights for activism and stuff in the black community.
And she's worried. She's worried that is she being kind of like she'll worry about how she feels about that. Her friends would be like, so you're dating a white guy, but you advocate for like black community. It's a good question to have.
It is. And it is, you know, for people to say, oh, interracial relationships aren't a big deal anymore.
They are in the South.
From someone who's in one, they are still. I've met people who...
In L.A., I don't feel like it's that big of a deal.
No, but I've met people who like have either said or hinted at they don't have a problem with me being gay, but they do think... These aren't like good friends, but people that wonder why I choose, though, to date a black gay man. Still in this day and age. And you're like, what the fuck? Anyway. Just let people love, y'all. They're going to Mexico.
Not yet.
Well, they're going to be with
Mexico.
You sound so sweet till I got a stomach flu. I shit my pants on the plane back. I'm never going back again.
Isn't that exactly your story?
That's exactly what happened to me the last time I went to Mexico City.
Y'all, there's a Jimmy Buffett musical called Escape to Margaritaville right now. Oh. And it has one of the worst books. I saw it. It has one of the worst books.
You saw it?
Yes.
Worse than Rock of Ages? Not Rock of Ages, than the Queen musical?
Then We Will Rock You?
We Will Rock You is one of the worst
pieces
of shit.
That's like choosing the Lady or the Tiger. I don't know.
That's... Oof.
I don't know. Margaritaville, Escape to Margaritaville is terrible.
I guess...
Don't see it if it comes to your city.
Don't see it, y'all. Go support local theater.
Yeah, go see something at your local 99 seat theater.
Tour. So one thing that I kind of know that I feel like they didn't explain in the first episode, y'all, once they ask them to get married, they're out of the pool. They're still in the house.
Yeah.
So they're still going to be in the what do you call it, the pussy lounge?
They're still in the pussy palace
Then
the Sean Cody winter getaway.
In the Sean Cody winter getaway.
House.
The lounge. They're still in the boys and the girls' house.
They haven't left like Love Island.
But they're not going on individual dates anymore.
They're just there to get moral support.
Okay.
They can be there for props for conversation. They really should get them out. I kind of agree.
They should.
They don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, just take them off.
They're just masturbating when everyone else is going off dates. Like, Cameron's just jerking off. I'd pay to see that.
I'd pay to see that, too. I just have a couple of things before we jump into the people in the pods. Ooh, I like that. The people in the pods.
The pod people. Pod time.
Amber still wears chokers, and I don't know how I feel about this.
Well,
is this coming back, or is this, she's crazy, she likes to be choked? I need y'all to let us know.
I think her situation is akin to the story of...
Are we recording?
When,
yeah, just checking. Didn't know.
When that girl, y'all, those who are new to us, we do that all the time.
We went 20 minutes one time without fucking
recording.
And
now we have to see. Yeah. I really should check every time because you seem to slip about that sometimes.
You know, when you're running all the tech and the other person's just talent.
And I'm being ideas.
Sometimes it
and
gets
sometimes,
difficult.
Y'all, the idea game that I have to do at the beginning is exhausting.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this, though, the choker.
Yes.
So remember that story in like More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark where the girl is wearing the little thing around her neck And all of a sudden, the guy really loved her. And he said, "Why don't you take it off? I want to just be with you." She's like, "No, I can never take this off." And one time she fell asleep and she took it off and her head fell off.
Yes.
That's Amber.
That's Amber.
Except with Amber, she would all of a sudden, when you would take it off, she would even say worse things like, "Oh my God, my pussy itches."
Probably.
She would like her actual self would come out because Amber's hiding her crazy behind a wall and it's slowly eking out.
So maybe it's more like, and this is spoiler alert if you're the two people that haven't watched it, maybe it's like in Game of Thrones when the red woman takes off her necklace and she's an old crony bitch instead of young and pretty with nice tits.
Her choker is actually keeping her civil.
Remember when you saw that she was old?
I gasped.
That show was so good until the end.
Last two seasons. But the dragons were great, y'all.
That's true.
So you want to jump into the pod?
Yeah.
We'll go back to Pussy Palace and Sean Cody Winter Getaway.
We're going to go back to there later. Yeah, there's going to be some talk.
I want to start out with Damien and Gigi.
Damien and Gigi. She's from Venezuela.
She's from Venezuela.
That's important because it's part of a plot line.
And she's the lost Kardashian sister.
She is. She is gorgeous.
She is. But she keeps reminding me of the younger Kardashian
girls. They're all fucking movie star gorgeous. I'm telling you. Well, actually, the women are. And the guys are.
At least four of the guys are really hot.
Four of the guys are really hot.
Yeah.
Damien.
Damien's cute, y'all. He's got a huge fucking dick.
Big dick alert.
Y'all, and you think I'm just saying it about everybody. There's only two of the cast members who have huge dick men.
Poodle said, quote, "It's the biggest in the house."
It's the biggest in the house.
Swing low, sweet
Dickosaurus.
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 Coming for to carry me. Rawr, rawr.
Dickosaurus.
That's what a dickosaurus says. The dick just raises up and it goes, rawr!
There's sometimes when you've seen a dickosaurus and you actually think, am I afraid for my life?
How am I going to do this?
Because you're thinking, part of you says, I love a challenge, and part of you says, I want to walk tomorrow.
Yeah. You're like,
there's a strange dick in my house. Bum.
You can look at Poodle's Gay Club Glitter Mix for that song.
You can.
Tamia, Stranger in My House.
Tamia, you can.
You can go on Spotify and look for that.
It's Spotify. I can't put that in the show links. Poodle's Gay Club Mix.
Yeah, you forget about it every time. Anyway, so Damien's a country boy, y'all. He's a redhead.
His
family's important. She really likes him. There's a great song about halfway there where it's like, we're running back together.
Running back together.
We're running back together.
Running back together.
Nice third. And that song is by...
Who's the band that sings that song, Poodle?
That song is by a great... kind of unsigned band that we found called the Berry Brothers.
The Berry Brothers. Okay, great.
Strangely enough, it is two trans women.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. But strangely enough, they love to dress up like...
Is it bears as in B-E-A-R or bears as in like strawberries?
B-E-A-R.
B-E-A-R, okay.
Makes all sense on the worlds. And boys is with an O.
Boys or brothers, you mean?
Brothers. And brothers is with a B-U-B-R-U-T-H-A-Z.
Oh, brothers.
Uh-huh.
Brothers.
Berry Brothers.
Berry Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They were great.
They are.
Great. So Damien says a line that is not prompted by a producer at all. Did something happen in your past to cause you to not feel beautiful?
That was much better acted and delivered than he did it. But y'all, I think Damien is cute and sweet. There's not a lot going on upstairs.
Not smart. Not.
Here's the thing. I think he doesn't do well in such situations. I think he may... I don't want to say he's on the spectrum because I don't want to say that. He's not always the most easy to relate to.
Well, I just think he could be shy or whatever. Damien's a general manager. I think that was his job.
Yeah.
We don't know if that's general manager
of a car lot.
Of
that's
a car
how he dresses.
Lot, of a Tonka truck factory.
El Coyote.
Of like a tech company.
Of a Mimi's Cafe.
I kind of think he is the manager at Mimi's Cafe.
Mimi's.
Y'all.
Y'all, he moved up through the ranks.
My mother, Bonnie, I mean, baby, let's just go to Mimi's and have a glass of that Riesling and some bread.
She likes Riesling.
Loves her white Riesling and just a little bread.
No, Riesling is such a sweet wine. I can't handle it.
I can't handle it. She come at us if your mother loves Riesling.
Hey, baby, let's go to Mimi.
And she usually says kind of Riesling.
Riesling.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, she got picked on a lot in high school.
And guess what? He did too.
He did too. Because you know what? I bet he was nerdy, not cute.
And you know what?
Not athletic boy.
She put on the pounds and she's fine now.
And she's a muscle man
but no,
now.
That
he's
face,
ripped.
That face has always given off the big dick aura.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the smart girls knew.
They did.
You know, Jennifer's or Ashley's were just out fucking those Barnetts and those pretty boys in high school. But there was one girl whose name was like, what probably? There was one girl who was
really. It was Alisa.
Alisa. Yes, Alisa.
Who fucked his brains out in high school.
Who fucked his brains out because she was that smart bitch that knew.
Because she loved to ride that flagpole. Woo!
Woo! Alisa or Rachel. Woo! Yes, definitely.
Just like a maypole, just slide all the way down.
It's true.
Anyway, so they're starting to get really close, y'all.
They're getting close.
Gigi basically says, I self-sabotage all the time.
Her parents' divorces fucked her up,
fucked her
which
up.
Is true. So then we don't really get... Here's the deal, though. They talk about, like, being... But they don't ever talk, or he doesn't really talk about a lot of specific stuff. It's like
no.
Circusy. Cut to Rory's helping him with
Rory's,
breathing exercises.
Rory, the PA, who
take deep breaths, bro.
who is probably getting scale for this?
Probably.
And he's saying, you know, it's okay to propose. Damien walks in a suit that is way too small for him to be doing. He must have pumped a lot of iron in between.
I mean, I bet his arms feel like just mountains.
Yeah, I guarantee you he's going to look good with his shirt off.
I'm going to climb that mountain high.
I want to, now we tell each other we love each other, and now we're getting to the proposal.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! I need a moment, as we say on 90 Day Gays, to process this, but we're going to do this right now as a Love is Blind theater.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be playing the role of Damien.
I'm playing the role of the empty
box. And you're
going
to be playing the role... No. You can play the empty box if you'd like, but you're also going to be playing Gigi.
Okay, fine. I'll play the role of this, just acting responsibilities. I'll play the role of the empty box and Gigi.
Okay.
I'm the Meryl fucking Streep of podcasting.
So here we go.
Okay.
Gigi, I got to tell you, I started. hold on, I need a moment.
It's okay, baby.
You see that box there? The one that was just there that was put by Rory, the PA?
It's empty.
I know. Here's the thing. I was started putting all kinds of things in it that was in my travels. And, you know, then I thought, no, this is stupid. No, I'm not going to do this. And then I thought about, I only love my mama and my brother and my daddy. And no, you deserve more than this. I cannot give you this box. So I unwrap the, are you following all this?
I'm just listening, and I'm a little scared.
And then I took the top off the box, and I put my dick in it for a while. And then, it's huge, by the way. And then I said, no, I am your gift. And for some reason, I put a bow tie around my wrist. That makes sense, right?
I'm just listening and concerned.
When can we fuck? And scene.
Does this gift have a receipt? because she's going to want to return this box.
Everyone who was watching and the weird vanity like bow tie around his wrist made no sense.
You know, you would actually, oddly enough, a little more well-spoken than he was even.
It did not make a lot of sense.
It did not make sense. It was a lot of, Poodle says, it was a lot of Instagram memes put together mm-hmm. into a proposal.
But I am your gift was one of the strangest things I've ever heard.
And then we're left with Gigi speechless. And y'all, we won't know. We have to wait till next episode if they're going to be together or not.
And then they run towards the, like, the little frozen window, and he, like, jizzes on it. P.S. You know someone had a jerk off in those rooms.
Barnett jerked off
when he was probably talking to Amber.
Amber
phone sexed him. The opposite of phone sex, maybe like pod sexed
yes,
him.
Yes, and
through the,
Amber
through the
went
thing.
To the Palms bar and invited her finger friends. I know it happened. I know it happened.
Oh, Amber. God, I hate Amber. The next one I have on my list
is I have Carlton and Diamond.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
let's
right.
do it.
Yeah. Bows like a diamond, live like a diamond.
So Carlton has proposed, y'all.
He gets down on one knee.
She collapses into the couch. Now, as we learned last episode,
hey,
Carlton,
stop honking.
Carlton has his heart is open and he sees people as hearts and not genitalia. So he's the short answer for that, y'all. Is we learned this he's been down the dick sucking highway.
Yep. I'm going down the dick sucking highway.
And to
I'm
be
sucking
honest,
long. I don't know when. And when I see that digger coming, I'm gonna be back in that shame pen again.
I would like to say that that is Muddy Water from Big River.
It was kind of a takeoff
and
of
I'm
that song.
I'm horrified that you just made that song about that.
Oh, look out for him. Oh,
Muddy Water.
He's that for me, and that is mine. And he's got a dick for sucking that dick. He's gonna climb that dick, and he's gonna find it in ride.
You had to throw your head back to do that last one.
We're gonna have to put that on the musical episode. That's gonna have to be on the musical episode. That's either when you just subscribed to the rest of the Patreon or you left.
I think someone has just left. Y'all, you can tell we only do this show for us. For what interests us. For people who say we talk about dicks and just like sing and say y'all all the time, that's the show.
That's the show.
I'm sorry. It's not going to change.
Well, apparently, here's what I want to just criticize. When your heart is open and you don't
when
tell someone that when you're fucking other people.
Yeah, well, here's
like,
the
I'm
thing.
I'm just sad for him and he's a dick.
Well, there's a big question here. Do you need to reveal your entire past when you've known each other for 6 days and you get engaged? Or is it something you bring up? Now, let's say it's been 10 years since he's dated guys. I think it's all about what he considers himself. The problem is we don't know what he considers himself.
We don't know what he considers himself. I think
he's walking around with a lot of shame because he dated guys.
You know
what
it is?
I see.
It's actually, for me, so come at us in the Sissy Squad. Let us know. Or on the Patreon comments for this episode. Yeah, y'all, by the way, if you're listening to Patreon, if y'all want to talk to each other, there's a whole comment thing for each episode.
There is.
Y'all can all talk about this shit. It's actually not that he dates guys.
No.
It's how he's handling dating the guys.
And the shame of it all.
It's the shame of it all, the way he's crying.
The shame of it all.
He's saying things like, quote, because I wrote this, I'm not letting any doubt or insecurities from the past take this from me. You make me feel like I don't have to hide. So what I'm hearing is this guy's in a shame. He's crying, saying he's been craving acceptance his whole life. Whew. This is not someone who says, yeah, I've dated women. I've dated men.
I'm fine with
it. I love
it.
All people.
Yeah.
If he came in with that energy, first of all, I think they would have mentioned it.
And I think he's deeply ashamed of his time that he's dated guys.
We talk a lot about intention on the show. It's not the action. It's the intention.
Agreed.
That's what bothers me.
And what he's bringing to it.
Yep.
I want to talk about when they do meet. They open the doors. He starts running toward her. You can see her like look kind of glazed look in her eyes that maybe this wasn't exactly the kind of guy.
Awkward.
And then after some niceties, he tells her, "You fly." And her, she says the same thing, but it's higher and goes, "You fly."
Yeah. He's like, "You fly." She's like, "You fly." Fly, fly away, bitch.
Make me a bird so I can fly far away. Yo, that's when someone says to me on Grindr, "Oh my God, you're so handsome." And if I type back, if you could hear my typing, you'd be like, "So are you.
So are you."
Because your voice goes up an octave.
Because if he's really thinks you're hot, someone will tell Poodle, they'll say, "Poodle, you're so handsome." And he'll say, "Show me your dick." Because that means he's into
you.
Maybe. Poodle, I got to tell you. I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
So, yeah, and then they, if you look at their body language, even if we look, if we,
she's feeling it.
If we compare this to, first of all, Cameron and
you
Lauren,
you can't compare anything to Cameron
and honestly,
Lauren.
We're going to talk about it in a minute, but if you compare it to Kelly and Kenny's, like
later, yeah,
but they like kind of hug each other and then they like step back like 2 feet away, the way you like meet somebody that you used to fuck at your 10-year reunion. Y'all come
now,
out.
I will say
if it was awkward when you saw the person you fucked at your 10-year reunion.
I didn't date girls in high school, so I don't know.
Yeah. You will say what?
I will say about Kenny and Kelly, we're going to talk about them a little bit. They are the potato salad of couples, y'all.
Their whole
you
segment
will,
was 7 minutes and that's all we need.
You will eat potato salad if it's there. But unless some restaurant says we have the best potato salad in the world, you're not touching that potato salad because you don't care.
They are the...
Maybe if you're still hungry at the end of your meal.
They are the, what is it, Zach and Alexandra of Love Island?
I loved Zach, though.
He was so boring to me.
Oh, I just wanted to do Zach.
Oh, I know, but boring.
But yeah, but Kenny and Kelly, they're fine, y'all.
Let's talk about them. I think we're done with Carlton and Diamond,
I agree.
Right? So...
I kept saying... Who are these people?
My name's Kelly Chase, and I'm Kenny Barnes. And Kenny is a vacuum salesman.
Are you certain?
He's got to be his vacuum salesman.
I thought he was like a car salesman. That's what it
vacuum,
felt like to me.
Vacuum, car, or insurance.
Yeah.
And not that there's anything wrong with it. He just kind of has that friendly preacher, I'm going to sell you something.
He does. Friend, let me tell you this.
Let
my
me
father
tell you
says.
This. What's your favorite book, friend? What's your favorite childhood book?
No, she asked that question, which is a great question.
It is a great question.
And he says, Forever My Baby You'll Be, which is a book. Now, that is a children's book, what kind of freaked me out was when he's like, yeah, I kind of read it again 3 or 4 years ago. Where would you get it? And why would you decide to read a children's book?
A Barnes & Noble, maybe.
But to seek out, this book really made a lot to me. Forever. Yeah, forever.
Well,
I'll be my mama's baby forever. It was a strange thing to say that he'd read it 3 or 4 years ago.
I mean, I don't know. We don't. I feel like there's more to know about Kenny, but we don't get to know really a lot about
him.
You
know what? There's not.
Kelly Chase, y'all, Kelly Chase is that pretty.
I really like her.
She is that pretty smart girl who won homecoming queen at my high school.
I really like her.
She is.
She kind reminds of athletic. Me of a gymnast in like the 80s. She reminds me of like Carrie Strug, yeah. Mary Lou Retton.
She reminds me of April McAllister. That's who she reminds me of.
I don't know who that is, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
She's a softball coach now, and her husband's a coach too. And she's still real fit, real pretty, and they just have cute kid. A cute
I don't
baby.
Think I've ever met a softball coach who was married to a man.
You know what? And she is not a lesbian.
You know what? Good for her.
Because there are some girls that play. We had a very good softball team at Lone Grove High School.
I guess I'm going to hear about this.
I look back at a lot of them now, and I'm like, they all, not all. I was like, some of them, they just should date. Life would be easier because the men that they went on to date and divorce and had 3 babies with since high school fucked them over.
Oh,
I'm like, oh. That sucks for you. But April McAllister, she was one of those smart girls who like waited to date guys.
Oh.
She didn't like fuck around with them. So she did it later in high school and then kind of.
Like lesbians do?
No, I really don't think she has a lesbian vibe.
All right.
Yeah.
But softball is the sport.
Oh.
Softball or volleyball, y'all?
Volleyball, yeah.
Or shot put.
Women's rugby. Yeah.
So anyway. I already said this, but
flag football.
Someone's got to have jerked off at these pods.
Yes.
When you're talking to someone.
So Kenny and Kelly talk about.
He proposes.
Said, they really bonded because this, I just want to say, this is the extent of their deepness.
Yeah.
I fell alone. She cries and says, I fell alone too.
Let's get married.
That's kind of it.
This would be a nap. If all the couples were like this.
It's kind of a problem. I kind of think in the editing, they almost should not have put Cameron and Lauren first.
You know, I agree with that.
It kind of fucked everything.
I feel like...
They were amazing.
I agree with that. And I feel like the show...
Drop.
No, I don't want to go there. The show...
Y'all,
I feel
Poodle
like,
literally can't handle them breaking up.
I have anxiety when people mention that. I feel like this whole show was a ton of pre-production and a ton of production, the set, the effects, everything, and everything to detail, but I feel like the story editing wasn't the way it should be.
I agree
with
that.
So far, just seeing episode 1 and 2.
Netflix, let us know.
I feel like the story editing is kind of really subpar.
Netflix, hire us.
If you want to get an idea about story editing, watch the last season of 90 Day Fiancé, season 7, because they edited the motherfuck out of that.
They sure did.
Yeah, to the point where it was too much. That's too much story editing.
Now, can we talk about his proposal real quick?
Yeah.
I thought this was sweet, because they can't see each other, so I thought it was sweet. He was like, close your eyes, cover your eyes, and like just listen to the sound of my voice and like be present. I thought that was sweet.
But she could have kept her eyes open and done the same thing.
Would you have closed your eyes or would you have kept them open?
Kept them open.
You're that bitch in church that prayed, looked at everybody while they were praying.
Oh, ask my mother. And my mother would say, close your eyes. What do you have to look around for? Why don't you... People can see you.
Would you just comment on people while they were praying?
My mother would squeeze my hand. If she saw me with my eyes open, she would say, this is disrespectful. She's like, everyone else is being very, very respectful, and you're not.
She just could have put that on loop for your entire childhood.
It's like, what is there to look at in here? It's just a church.
Just a church. So I thought that line was sweet when he said, I can't wait to learn to love you more.
I did. You know what? It's not that I don't like them, y'all.
I like them.
They're a potato salad.
They're just not entertaining.
Yeah. Seriously. There's nothing bad about potato salad. You sometimes you'll eat it and you're like, this is decent.
They're a 6-inch dick. Y'all.
No, 6 inch is pretty good. I mean, I can do a lot with 6 inches. They're five like a inch. Five.
They're a 5-inch dick. They're great.
It's a good night.
It's going to do well.
You might have to do a little more work than you think you would.
You would.
More acrobatics.
Mm-hmm. You might have
Make sure your bed frame, your headboard is a little more.
Yeah, you might have to get out a cock ring or two.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a good night for everybody.
And if they know how to do it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Put their potato salad in a 5-inch dick.
But when
a 5-inch dick isn't bad, y'all.
But when you've got
if your husband's got a fiver, you're fine.
If you got an 8-inch Latin dick that's just saying hola, and you're like, whoa.
It's hard to choose the middle bed, like
Goldilocks.
It's hard to say it's just right when it ain't.
It's true. Anyway, they see one another, and again, they run, and they kiss each other, and they hold each other the way people should.
And he's much taller than she is, so
and
it's kind of cute.
And then we get the great love ballad. Wait until it's my turn! Which a lot of people don't know, it's by a group called the Ooh Ahs. That's them singing their band.
Ooh Ahs.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Ooh Ahs. Ooh Ahs.
They actually, it's a group of 40 people that all sound like one person. They're
like Eric Whitaker Choir.
They're an indigenous peoples tribe from Alaska.
Oh.
A lot of people don't know that.
I love a good indigenous peoples.
It's true. Ooh Ahs.
Inuit.
Inuit, yes. There you go. Okay.
Are we ready to talk about Barnett and Elsie slash Jessica?
And Amber slash Jessica.
It's like those shirts for the book A Little Life, which if you read A Little Life, maybe you didn't, but like whatever his name is, like Nico blah, 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 blah. It's like four names.
You just lost all of our audience. Like one person is saying yes.
It's very LA, I should say, in New York. But anyway, they're in like a quad, y'all.
Who do you want to start with first?
Let's just talk about Barnett in general and talk about let's go to Elsie first.
You called it in our last episode.
What?
He's just like
he's a fuckboy.
Everywhere
he's
giving everybody what
he's
they want.
Awful. And it's absolutely awful.
He's
kind of me in my late 20s, early 30s.
But he's going to be that husband that keeps fucking up because he just, oh, I'm just such a fuck up. I actually think he's kind of a bit of a...
And it's worse. And it's worse because he says something like every time he fucks up, he learns from it. And he convinces his wife or the girlfriend he's with that he's not going to do it anymore or that we're past this.
Yeah.
We're so strong we can weather this. And the problem is he's such a sweet talker. I'm sure there's a term for this where he's so good at emotional intelligence and convincing people that telling them what they want to hear.
Well, honestly, a sociopath, but I don't think
he's not a sociopath. He's just a narcissist.
Yeah. There's it's almost too like in a weird way he has too much maybe empathy, meaning that he reads people and feels what people are feeling so well that he picks up on it, but it's like he doesn't make the connection then.
I think you got it.
He doesn't make the connection to use that empathy of how his actions affect them.
I agree.
You know what I mean? It's very odd.
And he can read people and tell you what you need to hear at that moment. He can kind of help us because both of us are pretty empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our job is. As you look
it's
off,
cloudy outside.
As you look off into a different direction,
I
talk about empathy.
I thought I saw a thundercloud.
I was like,
y'all,
because most of us are really listeners. And this bitch just is not even. His eyes are like rolling around his head. God, I need a new person to do this show with. Anyway, Barnett to me is my worst nightmare in my 20s.
Oof.
He's my worst nightmare.
Oof.
Even in my early 30s.
You would have come home so much without your clothes.
Yeah, which I did a couple times. But
yeah.
But y'all, we've all had Barnett.
We've all had this guy. Yeah. He was my the K word. Remember the K word guy? Oh boy! Thank God that went away.
Anyway, y'all. So Elsie is basically saying he says, Elsie, I like you. And so he's gaslighting three of these girls. And then the next thing, should we talk about Barnett now and Amber?
Well, he says this with every girl. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
We're so freaking similar. We're so similar. We're
and
so much alike.
Sadly enough, I think he believes all of it.
Yeah.
I think because he doesn't understand. You're right. He's so empathetic. He's so open-nerved that he's letting everything in, but not realizing how it really affects other people.
Exactly. Yeah. I do need to talk about something with Elsie. Y'all, this
makes
is
me
a
think of Lauren Conrad.
This is a red flag.
Rain on your lips. No one else can feel it for you. No one else can let it in. No one else can feel the rain on your skin. Okay, that's it. Thank you for that upper harmony.
You're welcome. Y'all, we love.
You are learning. We're learning how to read and read each other well. You're finally learning what to do.
Great. Thank you.
I say finally, like my mother would.
If you're dating a guy and he has a ukulele and can't play one fucking song on it, that's a red flag. Red. You know why he carries a ukulele?
He has a ukulele.
So he looks fucking cute and you comment on a ukulele. It's the dumbest fucking thing ever.
And it's sad because she can't even see how he looks playing the ukulele.
And I used to think he was kind of hot because I think he's amazing in bed.
I knew you would go away with this.
But you had seen this episode.
Yes, I had.
After I saw this, I was like, you're a fucking tool. I don't have time for you. You're just going to give me HPV and regret. That's all Barnett's going to give you.
That's exactly what
Barnett's going to give you.
He is riddled with HPV.
Oh, yeah.
Riddled with it.
Had to learn that the hard way, ladies.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Probably has herpes, too.
If you can't play the ukulele and you have one, this is a metaphor, ladies. He's not going to show up as a husband in your life. Anyway, now we can move on to Amber.
Amber. So we're going to talk about Amber. I want to talk about Amber. So Barnett has this kind of triangle quad with Amber, Jessica, and Elsie going on. Let's talk about Amber first. Who is like a cool girl? She's like, I'm a cool girl. Like, I'm an army girl. I can blow up a tank.
And Barnett's like, so when we get out of here, are we going to be like all engaged and shit? So romantic. He's dumb.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing which really gets him hooked when she tells that story of the unwanted pregnancy that she had. And the guy was like, how can we fix it?
As she's drinking from her Sutter House bottle.
Sutter Home.
Sutter Home. That's what it is.
Mother Poodle loves a good Sutter Home.
Does she really?
She loves, can I have some Sutter Home Chardonnay? Only if you don't have Kendall Jackson, though. Y'all, if you drink Kendall Jackson, you're a basic bitch.
I remember when I first
started. I love me some Kendall Jackson, and I'm basic.
When I worked at Interurban Restaurant,
you're really basic,
I remember
though.
This beautiful woman came in, and she's like, can I have some Kendall Jackson? That's fancy.
It's not.
In Ardmore, Oklahoma, it is.
She loves her some Sutter Home or Kendall Jackson, y'all.
She does.
She did this kind of weird, like, emotional thing where she, like, basically made him say, if we get pregnant out of wedlock, you will never make me have an abortion.
Which she said she got very depressed, and the other half just wasn't over it. Which, y'all, this is home. I have a friend in life who was going to do, like, an abortion, and that's what she wanted to do. And she made three appointments and the guy never showed up. And then she heard the heartbeat. And she's like,
wow.
I can't do it now. It's
no,
my baby.
I fully. Oh, you know, it's I can't tell anyone what to do in that situation.
But I do like that she told this story in that I think a lot of women go through this where guys say, like, I'll support you in this. And then they drop out and they're just.
Well, it would have been better if she wasn't Amber. Who told this
it's
story?
It's true, yes. That's true.
If she was anyone else, y'all.
If Kelly told this story, I would have cried.
Oh, if Kelly told this story, I would say, what a learning experience for everyone.
But with Amber, I'm like, why didn't you just take the fucking pill?
With Amber, I feel like...
Put the shot in your arm.
I feel like...
that little thing they have? You can get a shot in your arm. It gives you birth control.
If you can see my face right now.
No, but can't you?
Or you can do like Plan B.
Or whatever.
Do you know what Plan B is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is it?
You take the pill if you think you're pregnant.
You do know what it is.
Yeah, I've had to take it many a time. Many a time. I'm actually not judging her choices, and she got pregnant.
Neither am I.
I'm not that at all. But
it's just like, this is the last bitch I wanted to hear this from.
Yes, it's because it's her. Yeah. I mean, he's saying, I guess, we never really find out if Barnett says he's going
to
be there for her.
No, but I feel like this kind of rocks him to think, oh, she has actual feelings.
Which I thought it, though, was a cop-out. They never responded to his answer.
No, they didn't.
But they did have this, again, y'all, huge hit. Huge hit. This was the original theme to Christopher Nolan's Batman. A lot of people don't know. And it was one of those songs that starts off like, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Wanna get inside your mind? We can have a good time.
And just depressing.
This band.
Who is the band? Yeah.
This band is called Free Throw, but spelled R F E E E. Free Throw. But like F R O. And it is three black women with actual afros.
Oh.
Free fro.
Free fro.
Free fro.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that type of song.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about...
Shall we go to Barnett and Jessica?
Yes, and I feel like in this is perfect. I feel like we're going to be covering Jessica, Barnett, and also Jessica and Mike. Because
yes.
It's all kind
Mark,
of...
Mark, you can't Mark. Remember his name.
Mark. I'm Mark. I'll remember it now because of Rent.
Rent. So.
One blaze of glory.
Glory.
You know the saddest thing is about Rent?
Oh, God.
Get off topic.
I'm sorry. We were close.
One song, Glory, is such a better song than the song he's been trying to write the whole time called Your Eyes. Anyway.
Your eyes,
you died of AIDS. But strangely, you come back, but Angel doesn't. I don't see the equity in that.
Was that the actual lyric?
No.
I didn't know because they were that bad. Sorry, y'all. We don't love
Rent. We're not Rent heads.
We're not Rent heads.
Come at us. I will come for fucking you.
It happened at a good place in time. Anyway.
So, Jessica... Anytime she's with Barnett, she's like, hey, B.
Hey, B.
And, she's like, do you think we're getting here together? And he's like, at this place, if there were no other guys and no other girls, yeah.
Yeah.
Not what she want to hear.
Where she took us at, like, she's like,
oh my God,
I'm getting married.
I'm getting married. He's proposing.
Oh my God, he told me he was going to propose to me.
Which, let's back up. So she takes that information. So let's jump around a little bit. And she literally just walks into Mike and says,
in the Pussy Palace.
She walks into Mark in their pod and says, she doesn't want to walk away from things, but that basically she's got to follow her heart.
So we're going to Mark and Jessica.
Well, no, we have to.
Yeah.
Because he said that, and then Mark
she's
literally...
like, I think I should walk away.
Mark is crushed, but instead of being sad, because most men can't
actually,
be sad...
Actually, he went, what the fuck?
He just gets angry, because that's the emotion all men can have.
It's acceptable male emotion.
Just saying, let your men have other emotions, y'all.
Let your boys... Y'all, if you have young boys, if they want to, like, cry... Let them
cry. Don't pat him on the butt and say, walk it off. Don't tell him to mad
up. Or like my mother says, be a big boy. And I dressed my mother down. I said, if he wants to fucking cry because his seatbelt won't work, let him fucking cry.
Let him fucking cry.
Yeah. Because that holding up that cry is what'll like make him like smack his girlfriend across the room.
Yeah.
Later on. Not to say that my mom is responsible for spousal abuse.
If she hears that show, she's going to say, I mean.
Gah.
So Mike's like, what the fuck? And Jessica's like,
I don't want to jump again.
And he's like, I love you. She's like,
You're 10 years younger.
I don't know how to say this, but you're
10 years younger than me.
I don't get why she's hung up on this.
It's an excuse.
Like, who fucking cares?
Do you know how old Barnett is? 27.
Yeah.
He's 7 years younger than she is.
Instead of 10.
Almost every meme on the internet has been like, I don't know if anybody knows this, but Jessica is 34.
Yeah, I don't know if we know.
And I think, though, she feels like she is old, which is why she says that. And because she feels like she's old and past her prime, she dates men in their 40s.
Which,
because she thinks they're the only ones who'll love me.
Yep.
So
I guarantee
Jessica
you,
feels shitty about herself.
Jessica
y'all.
Doesn't have a good relationship with her dad, y'all.
Hmm.
Shocker.
That's
you can take that to the therapeutic bank.
Ooh.
Honestly, her and Burnett are a lot alike because in that they are these people that can't make decisions. Like, if you were behind Barnett and Jessica in a Chipotle, you're going to be there fucking ever. They're not going to know. They don't know if it's a bowl, if it's tacos, sofritas, or if they're going to do carne.
Do you have sofritos?
Wait.
Is it fresh corn tortillas?
How long has it been since you've done it?
And then they get halfway and make the wheat tortillas. And they're like,
oh my God, I don't want that.
I'm sorry. Can you do corn, please?
Can we have an extra sour cream on the side?
Come at us if you're that bitch in Chipotle that needs to make a decision.
Y'all, when you walk, it's like being in Starbucks. When you walk into Chipotle, you know what you want.
You know what you want.
No one needs to see you decide or get samples.
It's true. And then as Mike is like, it's all or nothing, we hear,
this will be my final teardrop.
I love that song.
Yes.
This will be my final teardrop.
This is by a group from Texas called Skincare.
SKYNNKARE.
Yes, Skincare.
Mm-hmm. They're fronted by a group by leader Ronnie Skin. S K Y N N.
They're from Midland.
Which is where George W. Bush's ranch is.
So
God, I long for George W. Bush right now.
We can't talk about politics.
Sorry.
We can't talk about politics. So anyway, I'm wondering if they ever do talk about politics on this show.
Not that I've seen.
Because that would be important to know in this day and age. But anyway, so Jessica leaves Mike that she's broken up with him.
Mark,
sorry.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
I apologize to everyone who has... You can't use that because you forget their name.
Sure. And so Jessica goes back to Barnett. And then I feel like this is an appropriate time for a little Love is Blind theater.
Okay.
I'm going to start... I'll be playing the role of Barnett.
Where are my notes?
And Poodle is going to be playing the role of Jessica.
Okay.
And I'm going to start with Barnett, who's always into some freaky deaky, let's jack off shit.
Okay.
And Barnett says, hey, babe, let's do something fun.
Okay. Is it true that you still feel the same way about me?
Oh, it's truth or dare, babe.
Yeah, I knew the truth.
Yeah, that changed. Babe, we think the game's over.
I mean, I feel like I should go. I don't fuck with people like you. I mean, oh my God, I know like a million guys like you.
Can I play you something on my ukulele, babe?
You do this with something else. I'm so fucking over this right now. Oh my God. I can't do this.
And she leaves the room and then we hear, bye, Jessica.
Door and shut. Outside the room, she goes, I'd still blow you.
This was...
And scene.
And scene. This was... Because it really was her monologue. It was quite good, Poodle.
Thank you.
This was riveting television.
I fucking hate her.
Karma is so wonderful.
So, guess
so
who
wonderful.
The bitch has to creep back to?
Yes.
Mark, and she's crying the next day.
So we're explaining this because some of you don't watch the show. You just like to listen to us. And you're literally probably yelling at your car and saying,
I hate you, stupid bitch.
No, she fucking did.
She's going to come back to him and she's crying.
Yes,
and,
she fucking did.
And he's like, she's like, I'm so sorry what I did. I'm so sorry about what I did. And he's like, it feels like I'm just an option to you.
Yep.
And, so then
and he
she apologizes.
Yeah. And then kind of we get a little bit in the Sean Cody weekend getaway. Mike is pissed. He's
Mark.
Well, I typed Mike, so I keep reading my
notes. That's the problem. Well, y'all, his language problems go far beyond this.
So Mark is like, he's angry. Am I being played? I don't want to put my heart out. So that's going on. Cut to, that's what he did. But when Jessica gets, when she gets ruined by Barnett.
Oh, yeah. She's like, she talks to Amber. She's like, in the Pussy Palace. She's like,
and she's drunk at this point.
I just want to tell you, I'm like, you don't know what he told me last night. And you're going to be like, he's going to like do the same thing to you. And like, he treated me like shit. So I don't want the same thing to happen to you. I mean, like, it's not that I like hate you. It's just that I want to tell you that like, he's not going to do the same thing to me.
And she does what so many women do, where they think their words sound like they're making it about them, but they're really saying.
No, they're
she
saying.
She says, do not make you look like so stupid like he just made me look.
Him to make you look stupid, like he made me look a little fool. I mean,
which as this is going on, there's this really riveting, tense song called "Say You Hate Me" playing.
Say you hate me. Say you hate me. Say you hate me, dear baby.
Who sings this song, Poodle?
That is by a great band called John Paul Jones Sank the Battleship. Strangely enough, is a woman from Thailand.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Who was very, really influenced by a lot of Paula Cole as a teenager.
A lot of Where Are All the Cowboys Gone?
But this is all I have to say about her, y'all. Beware of a white blonde woman with a glass of wine and an oversized sweater from Free People, because that bitch is
from Free People.
That bitch is basic, and she will come for you,
and she will keep coming for you until she's drunk and she's convinced herself to feel better.
We're gonna cut. I haven't seen the rest of these up, but we're gonna get a Jessica of, why did you do that?
I've seen episode 3, so yeah,
we're gonna get that, y'all, and it's gonna be messy.
I
think that's about
that's
it for me.
Basically, that's all I had. It's just such a fucking mess.
So to categorize, put a cap on this, Poodle. What is your straight people be crazy of this episode? I should have thought of this and I forgot.
My straight people be crazy is when you tell Mark, when Jessica tells Mark that, like, I don't feel the same way. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm trying to like make you understand. And he says, you know, it's like, because my mother says, if something, you love something, let it go. No, you hold on to it.
And let it go. And then if it comes back to you, it was meant to be.
That is not a great way to live,
y'all.
That's
not a great way to live.
That's a straight people be crazy. You hold on to what you need.
Poodle, you squeeze it till it dies.
Exactly.
I will say.
You wring out however much you need and you throw it away.
So going to that moment as well, for me, straight people be crazy because, y'all, if this happened to a gay person, we would never come back to you.
Exactly.
We would, in fact.
I would just fuck around and date someone who looked just like you.
We would orchestrate an orgy that involved like 4 guys, invite the guy that broke up with us, make sure he's there that wants to get back with me, and then I would literally fuck other people in front of him. That's what I would do.
I agree.
All right, everybody. Well, that's the episode. I just realized we don't do Patreon props for this. That's okay, right? And we're not going to.
We don't know. Someone may subscribe.
We'll do it later down the road. Yeah, it's fine. You get it enough.
Y'all, this is a very interesting show that we're doing, and... No, you take this. I'm sorry.
What are you going to say? Oh, no. We're going to say, go to sissythattalk.com.
Oh, you're right.
You can look at all of our episodes there.
We got 90 Day Fiancé.
We got 90 Day Fiancé. We got Sweet Tea. God, we have so much. I'm like, we have more now?
Yep.
Y'all,
one more.
We do this because you asked for it. This is just as much your show as
and
ours.
And we're thirsty as fuck.
And we're thirsty. So we've got 90 Day Fiancé. We've got Riverdale. We got Sweet Tea, the Southern Charm Show. You can go get our merch at our new merch store at sissythattalk.com and go to merch in the show links. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And y'all, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love?
Yes.
And if you ever decide to go underground in Simi Valley and live among the pod people and see who flips your fancy, you better call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.